This is a live Facebook video presentation of Cinema Classics Film Series at the Gateway Film Center, obviously. And sadly, we cannot be at the Gateway Film Center because this whole coronavirus nonsense has shut everything down.
Yeah.
And for movie lovers, this is such a great loss to not be able to even... Not only to not be able to see Cinema Classics' presentation of Breakfast at Tiffany's, but to not to see any movie at the Film Center right now.
And that's why I'm taking, for its movie time, Netflix, and using some Netflix flicks to use on that show. So it's a big, the internet has been a big help.
Right.
And including our other help, producer Summer Marie Sterrett.
Yeah, behind the camera there.
Yeah, right.
Does that angle look okay? Is that, we look good? Okay, so we were doing the film series, the Cinema Classics film series at the Gateway Film Center.
Once a month.
We started in February, right? Or no, January, late January. And we've been doing three, we were doing three Audrey Hepburn films.
Oh,
it's a tribute to Audrey Hepburn. And tonight would have been the night we presented Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Oh, yes.
So we'd like to talk a little bit about that movie. And maybe, hopefully, inspire you to tonight stream it, rent it, do something.
I got it on Google.
You got it on Google.
Yeah, I know.
Google Play.
$3.
$3.
Oh, you can't. It should have been $300.
Yeah.
Because this is the best romantic comedy ever made.
Those are strong words.
I know they are.
Those are strong words.
I sent them because I wanted you to challenge me. I know.
I do like Breakfast at Tiffany's a lot. No, now, hold on. Audrey Hepburn is a sight to behold in this movie. And I don't mean just because of her classic beauty. Because she does, much as Sean Connery set the tone for action heroes with Dr. No, Audrey Hepburn set the tone for romantic comedy heroines.
Who hasn't worn a black sheath dress thinking about her?
Right.
And it's the same dress through most of this, just variations of it.
So adapted from, was it a novella or a short story?
It was a novella, Truman Capote.
Truman Capote, Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah. He wanted to play the romantic lead, but somehow they sidestepped that.
That's a joke, right?
No, it's the truth.
Truman Capote wanted to play?
Yes.
Well, he would have certainly been more interesting than George Peppard. So she plays Holly Golightly, a sort of socialite.
Yes.
Vaguely prostitutional. Well, what would you say about that?
You know, both of them, both leads are...
Now, they don't explicitly say she's a prostitute.
No, but she goes, you know, she picks up $50 pretty fast going to a powder room. and no, they're not, of course. They're not explicit at all. They are pretty explicit with George Peppard's Paul Varjik.
Okay.
Where he is clear, she leaves money for him on the bureau. That is his paramour.
Okay.
And so clearly he is, which is a very nice, ironic touch. We usually think of the woman as being the prostitute. Hey, what about a man? And Peppard looking better than ever, I think, here. Okay?
Remember he's never looked 18? Better. Right, yes, of course.
Of course. I know. Right. Not everybody does.
I know. So we should set the stage. So Breakfast at Tiffany's, Holly Golightly, a New York City socialite, she comes into contact with George Peppard's, what is his name?
Paul Varjik.
Paul Varjik.
Otherwise known as Fred Baby.
Fred Baby, yeah. And he's... the typical buttoned up, straight laced, square, right?
Yep.
And Holly is the urbane, sophisticated, fly by the seat of her pants. Larry, get out of here. What are you doing? Get beat it. All right. This, I know, people with their dogs, right?
I know.
So anyway, that's it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's
she's making her way in New York the best way she knows how, which is trying to catch one of the richest men in the country, or the ninth richest man under 50, who is Rusty Trawler.
Got it. Rusty
and
Trawler.
Perfect. This party that she takes it to is the best party ever photographed.
Let me ask you, favorite scene in this movie? Because there are a couple of scenes. What is your favorite?
My favorite is probably her singing Moon River on her windowsill.
Yeah.
You know, that's the one that I most remember.
She's sitting on the fire escape, no? Or the windowsill?
Well, it's on the fire escape, exactly.
Ukulele.
Yes, ukulele. Or my second best.
Yeah, well, wait a second. We got to talk about the ukulele scene. She's singing Henry Mancini's Moon River, one of the most recorded songs of all time.
Oh, my gosh.
And Last month, we talked about My Fair Lady and how Audrey Hepburn's singing was cut out of that
movie.
You're
good. You're good. I know the irony.
Here,
yes,
they leave her voice. She is singing Moon River, and it is utterly delightful.
And Henry Mancini himself said it was the best.
He said it was his favorite recording of Moon River of all time. Now, that song has been recorded maybe 1,000 times.
Okay, my second best. Yeah. My second favorite is when Doc... Golightly is leaving on the bus.
This is my favorite scene.
Leaving on the bus.
So it turns out, we don't want to spoil anything, but spoiler alert.
Oh, come on. Most everybody's
Holly
seen
Golightly.
Except for Summer.
She is married still? Is that what the deal is?
It was annulled.
Okay, it was annulled.
Yes.
So her husband shows up. It is none other than Buddy Epson.
Playing the best hayseed you ever.
Of Beverly Hillbillies fame.
In fact, this role won him the Beverly Hills.
Is that right?
Right, because he was so good, and he really was.
Very cool.
So that's what a romantic, sentimental parting with the two of them.
It's very sad. It is probably the film's most truly bittersweet, humanly emotional moment.
And how about that music background?
Yeah.
I'm sitting the there watching it. Yeah. I'm just loving every minute. It's perfectly tuned to the mood.
Yeah.
And I love the shots in the village coming out of there. And apparently their brownstone still is there, not changed much at all.
Okay.
Anyway, yes. So it's New York, and she's making her way.
The one thing that we have to talk about in our current cultural climate is Mickey Rooney's racist portrayal of the Japanese neighbor who lives upstairs, replete with... exaggerated buck teeth and the, you know,
Missa Golightly.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It is painful to watch. On the other hand, he's terrific. He really does a great job. Slapstick.
Yeah. It is slapstick, but it's also, I think a lot of today's audiences will hate it.
It's out. Yeah.
So here's the thing with these classic films.
Yes.
You're always going to encounter something that is not appropriate today. Does it render the movie worthless? No. Does it render it problematic? Yes. But do you just accept it and move on? What do you do?
Of course you do. You accept it. You say, look, with something that's more than a half a century old, we can accept it. Culturally, it's unacceptable. But if you can detach yourself from the not quite appropriate, watch his performance. It is really quite good in a vaudeville style.
It's definitely energetic.
It is.
But
it is.
You see, this is interesting that you're saying it's great because his performance. Because it's no different than blackface, really. Is it is it not?
Probably not. But did you ever see any good blackface?
Well, no.
I mean, I did in renditions of Stephen Foster's story.
Oh.
The new Christy Minstrels.
Okay.
They come out in blackface, and it's really... really quite touching.
So there's a way to do it.
They're exactly right. It's the way we watch all movies. You and I, we detach ourselves. We accept what the directors and producers want to happen, and we accept it. And then afterwards, we criticize it the way you are appropriately criticizing that scene with Mickey Rooney. I agree.
Well, I'm just prepping people. If you have never seen it, and you are indeed in for
please,
a treat,
please
just
see
be
it.
Prepared for this for Mickey Rooney. It is distasteful. But this is a testament to the film's power and its endurance, is that it does not ruin the movie.
It does not. And look, let me add another thing, as we usually do on Cinema Classics.
It's supposed to be a happy hour, by the way. So
okay, very good. That dress sold a few years ago at Sotheby's for auction for $800,000.
Wow!
Second only to the Oscar. Let me see what Oscar.
Somebody's Oscar?
Yeah, for Gone with the Wind, I think. Anyway, but the point being and think about this, and I know that you will be interested in this. They first asked Shirley MacLaine to play Holly Golightly.
Interesting.
Okay?
Yeah.
Gene Seberg second.
Wow. And how did it end up in Audrey Hepburn's?
Well, they both turned it down.
Really?
No, I shouldn't say that. Hepburn made it. I don't know what the competition was like and whether they turned it down, but they eventually selected Hepburn, huh?
Yeah.
For casting people.
It's one of those great Hollywood stories, right, where the casting just falls into place And as someone once called Casablanca the happiest of happy accidents, so is Audrey Hepburn's casting in this movie. So let's talk about something real quick. In this crazy environment that we're living in right now and enduring this coronavirus madness.
Yes.
I don't know. We didn't actually measure this, but I hope you're more than 3 feet away from me.
Yeah, I'm looking. Know. I'm looking. There's
don't get too far.
Look, we
don't get out of the frame.
2, 3 feet.
Okay,
right
3 feet. During this time, and we know that a lot of people are enduring financial hardships right now and professional hardships. But if you're not, if you're in a position, a comfortable position, do not forget the city's great nonprofits, like the Gateway Film Center, that depends upon your contributions. And WCBE as well, a public radio station where cinema classics can be heard every Thursday night at 8:01 or on the website at WCBE.org.
Yes.
Don't forget the organizations that make Columbus a special place to live. And the Gateway Film Center and WCBE certainly two of those.
And I've got to, now I'm not going to end because you can end again. But there are some things I brought here for you that I knew you would be interested in, and maybe some of the people like Jordan out there who really appreciate this kind of thing, that actually Tony Curtis wrote pleadingly to be able to play that role, but Mel Ferrer, Audrey Hepburn's husband, would not have Tony Curtis playing opposite.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that great?
Is great.
I know.
Of course you don't want Tony Curtis in there.
Of course not.
You want somebody as bland as George Peppard in that role.
And let me tell you, you may not like George Peppard, but I think he is close to perfect on this.
It does work. I mean, there's no doubt. Like, you watch this movie and you're like, you're looking at this guy and you're thinking, how did this guy ever get a part? Like, you know what I mean? It's not that he's not tolerable or competent. It's just that as a screen presence, He really lacks something, but it works because it's a part of the character.
Oh yeah,
right. And he's supposed to be this.
He can't
kind of square.
Even approach her charisma, but he is good to look at, and he has a nice dull delivery, which indicates how difficult it has been for him to publish his work. I think he fits it all very nicely. Plus, he's prostituting himself to Patricia Neal, which would be difficult in any time to do. So that was my gift to you.
Thank you very much. Directed by Blake Edwards of Pink Panther fame.
Yes.
One of my favorite movies, The Party, which is another problematic movie, actually, if you think about it. But Breakfast at Tiffany's,